board on the curriculum committee right now?
No, no. We have, so fourth grade jumped on first. Fourth grade said, we're in, we're ready to go. Ada said, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. And then Ada talked to her other, the other fourth grade teacher. And they both said, okay, we'll do it. So they both started first. But we have other teachers that are stepping on in other grade levels.
And it would make sense, since it aligns with report cards, that you wouldn't be starting in the middle of a marking period anyway, because each unit is set up to span that entire time, and then you switch to a new unit with each report card.
There's four modules, so each module is a marking period long.
Now, here's the $54,000 question. Mm-hmm. We have acquired this new curriculum.
Yes.
And you said that it will transcend all grades, yet the buy-in so far is starting at the fourth grade level, right? Is there a plan to roll in the other grades, and when will we get to see that? Because I'm interested in process.
Absolutely. So what we did is, because the staff has encountered a lot of change this year, and so we were, the first was, who would be interested in jumping off the deep end right away? You're already doing everything else. Let's just go. Ada said yes. Ada got Miss Davis to say yes too. And then we've slowly gotten a few other teachers to jump on and say, okay, I'm interested. I want to see it. I want to do it. And then the teachers are talking to each other, because this year has been overwhelming for a lot of people. And so what I've said is, take a taste. Do a little bit of it, test it out. Next year, it's not an option.
Okay, so the first year, your plan is sort of voluntary.
Yep.
And the second year, which will start, what, 2020?
Yep.
In September, it'll be mandatory.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you'll have some data from this year.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we were still getting books in at the beginning of the year, so we didn't have everything for every grade level, so there was a lot of... I mean, there was a lot of,
there's
we need people,
yes.
We need you to have patience, we need you to have an understanding, and in order to do it, you need book one, and we didn't have book one for this grade, and we didn't have book, so it was a matter of us trying to, you know, it's one of those build the ship in motion kind of deals, and that's not necessarily my style, so, nor is it my comfort zone, but what happened was we ended up with fourth grade, we actually just quick ordered.
Yep, made a list.
Yeah.
You're sort of piloting it this year, we're sure.
And it's going amazingly.
But what we also did was, so it's I say it's green. It's green on a federally accepted reporting standard. It's also, I also looked for additional data. So don't just show me some pretty report somewhere. It's Ed Reports. Don't just show me a report that says it's green. I also looked at a charter school that is doing this curriculum in Wilmington that has similar students demographically to ours, that is using this, that pulls from a population similar to ours, and I compared the public school kids that I know are using the Wonders curriculum to the kids in this charter school that are using this other curriculum, and I looked at the difference between their scores on the SBAC, and their scores are phenomenally different. So there was a lot of looking at that before we went forward.
Are there any public is the wrong word, any regular schools?
Oh, yes.
That are using this around here?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
This is a very popular... curriculum.
So we have this doesn't set us apart from Capital. Do they have it
somewhere? They do not have it.
Okay, I'm thinking about something in terms of recruiting. You know, this would be a very good tool.
Yes.
Besides, obviously, the benefit of an interactive applied methodology, it would seem to me, and of course I'm not from a teaching background, it seemed to me that the confidence level of the kids would be higher, which has got to transform grade test taking.
Absolutely.
If you feel confident, you do better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And your behavior improves too.
Exactly. And, because, yes.
And also the writing. This curriculum, they are writing all the time. They're writing about their thoughts. They're writing about what they pulled from what they were reading. They're researching for other information and then pulling that into their writing. They're quoting. They are making sure that they credit what they quote from. And it just there's so much in here that is going to help
they're
them.
Thinking. With
yes, they're
thinking.
They're really thinking. Yeah. And their own thinking.
What does this cost?
So the cost for all of the books was $8,000 for the entire school.
And they're reusable.
And it's literature. Mm-hmm. It's real books.
Compared
and
to
reusable.
What we pay for Wonders. Right?
Correct. I honestly
don't know
that cost.
Because that's been around for a while, so I guess the cost. Okay. All right. Okay.
Which was probably quite a bit because
you have to buy the reproducibles for
right,
that.
Those
so
are
this
great,
is
those
a
are consumables.
This I can assure you this is a much lesser cost than what Wonders was.
What do you plan to do for teachers who are not able to make the transition fully to an interactive approach that you said it's mandated next year? Are you going to have training for teachers are having a difficulty?
Absolutely. We're supporting them all the way through.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mr. Ardente, between Mr. Ardente, Ms. Postles, and me, we're supporting them instructionally all the way through.
We come by one day. Is there possible for us to just look in a classroom and
yes.
watch them do some of this? That's
yes.
what I'm watching.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive to see.
It is, yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate what you're doing, Ms. Todd, so...
Thanks.
Hope to see some good results.
I have no doubt.
No doubt either.
I mean, the only way to be a good writer is to read.
Mm-hmm.
The more
and
you
to
read,
write.
The better you write.
Yeah.
And
speak.
And speak, yeah.
And that's actually embedded as well. They have to present some of the things that they are writing.
It's remarkable. What mm-hmm. I mean, just mm-hmm. the short change.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see the long-term
mm-hmm.
change.
Yeah. All right. Ms. Tridente? I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were...
That's
okay.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know what was happening. Okay. From what's happening right now, I think there are a lot of changes that have taken place this year, so I think it has taken a little bit of time for teachers to sort of acclimate to change, and it isn't easy. But working together and getting the support that you need is what's helping everybody, and which is why they were all so willing to come, and they were here and supporting. They know we're supporting them. They're supporting each other. And from a teacher's perspective, that's a good thing. They have somebody to go to. Our mentoring program has started. We had meetings last week. In addition to being sitting here, I am the lead mentor and site coordinator for Academy of Dover. So with all the new teachers that we have in the building, mentoring is going to be very important. And so Dr. Marinucci and I discussed matching and pairing veteran teachers or teachers who are not in the mentoring program with our new incoming teachers. And we've had our meetings, and that's all up and running and going well right now. So I'm very pleased with that, and it's a very comprehensive program, which I think overall will support Academy of Dover, and the students will feel that. So as far as that's all that I had to speak to tonight.
Could you provide some documentation on the mentoring program, how you do it here? It sounds like this is something different. Is this something different?
The mentoring program is required by the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
So DOE requires, as of December 16th, 2016, it is a four-year program for incoming teachers.
Okay.
If you're a first-year teacher coming from an education degree, it is a four-year program. If you are coming through the alternative route to teaching, through maybe UD, it too is a four-year program, but they have embedded in those 4 years, UD is also monitoring those teachers as they work towards their continuing license.
So it's like an internship?
It's an in It is somewhat like an internship. However, our teachers are licensed teachers. Right. So they have graduated from college, they have passed their praxis, and they are teachers. But the state of Delaware requires them to do a four-year mentoring. The first, they have just changed that because Delaware is very, very mindful of teacher retention and with the teacher shortage. So they have added the fourth year. The fourth year consists of an extra year of a one-on-one mentor. So instead of just a 1 year with a one-on-one mentor, DOE has offered up the funding to support those mentees with a one-on-one mentor, which are paid. So our mentors are paid. It is a paid service that our mentors are providing. Ada is a mentor. Mm-hmm. I'm a mentor. I'm the lead mentor, but I'm also a mentor to not just our mentors, but to a mentee. So it's 4 years. It does have an ethics course that is part of the requirement. It does have a PPAT or EdTPA requirement to it, which is a very comprehensive piece of understanding for the teacher, the new teacher, in how to lesson plan. Developing lessons, instructional material, mapping it to Common Core, and being able to deliver meaningful instruction to students. So the whole idea is not only does Delaware want to retain teachers, they want to retain good teachers. Who are they putting in front of students? And how are we going about ensuring that that happens?
Okay. Is there any assessment during this mentoring process?
Yes, it is highly monitored, which that is part of my responsibility, is to monitor the mentoring that is going on. There are components that have to be completed along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a checks and all of that, things that are uploaded and checked off and submitted. And then at the end, there is a due date for that final performance assessment for that new teacher. So after 4 years, the idea would be that that teacher is not only educated from a college standpoint, but they are thoroughly acclimated to the teaching, to their profession, and ready to sort of be completely independent.
Okay, here's a good one.
I'm ready.
Now that we have this assessment at the end of these new teachers, can their progress and performance be tied into some incentive? I know the board has occasionally voted to give some little monetary incentive for teachers that come back. Could what you're doing here be one of the things or the items that we could use to justify giving those that are progressing at the proper rate the incentive? We haven't talked about the incentive in a while, but we have done it before.
Bill took his glasses off.
Yeah. Now keep in mind that their licensure is directly connected to completing
this mentoring and that performance, not only to keep it, but to establish, to get it.
They're on an initial license, and a new teacher is on an initial license for now 4 years. At the end of the 4 years, in order to get their continuing license, they must have completed successfully all components. If they fail to complete any of those components, they don't get their license. No, they revert back to year one.
Oh, so it starts all over.
It starts all over again.
That's harsh.
It starts all over. If you're an incoming from out of state, I mean, there are different regs. If you come in from out of state, you have 1 year. If you are out of the profession for more than X amount of years, you're considered a brand new teacher and you're starting from year one. So there are different things.
Does it replace certification?
No, it gets you certification. Right. Yes. So it is directly connected to your licensure. Through Department of Education.
Well, this is a good story. I'm listening to it.
It is a good story. It is a very good story.
One of the things that we've heard is that we lose teachers. We lose good teachers constantly.
And that's right.
And so
that's the idea, is to support them in their first couple of years when it is so critical and very challenging for new teachers.
Yeah, but we lose them because of the salary issue. I mean, we don't pay.
Well, we can't. Well, that's.
But now
that's nationwide, right?
Okay. All right. I'm good with it. Thank you. Thank you for indulging.
As they should. As they should.
Right. Totally agree.
Yes, they should.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I hope that answered from the teacher.
Like other licenses, for example, I'm licensed in the state of Delaware as a therapist, but We have to maintain the license by ongoing
90 clock hours.
Education.
So continuing education.
After the 4 years, 90.
Right. So, right. Your clock doesn't start ticking on your 90 clock hours until after your 4 years have been completed. So really up until then, that's the mentoring program is what's keeping you licensed and getting your continuing license.
Now, of those 90 hours, is that by year?
No, I think it's every 3 years.
Oh, that's good. Because that's an awful lot for you.
Well, and keep in mind, is it five now? Is it 5 years? Then that was my error. It's 90 clock hours, not just you get hours if you were to take a course, but you get them for professional development hours. So any professional development will get you X amount of hours.
Can you earn some right at your job site within the school you're at?
Yes, through professional development.
Good.
Schoology can do that.
So it doesn't have to be didactic.
Yeah.
So we have, and thank you very much, Ms. Tridente. We do have a.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm going to let Dr. Marinucci take the floor because she and Bill have been discussing a plan about teacher salaries that she'd like to present. But Ms. Wagner.
Before you get to that, I want to say a couple of things. And it's fine with me that the tape is running based on what I'm going to say because I do believe it. I applaud you for the enthusiasm you have for this new program. And I think that's very important because it keeps teachers interested and excited about what they're doing. And I encourage you to do as much of that as you can. And I get the feeling it's a real team here, and that's wonderful because you've only been here a short period of time. I also do not always believe everything the Department of Education does. I spent 25 years in the classroom. And when you're a beginning teacher, you're overwhelmed anyway. So to then come and say, well, now here we've come up with this other new program, it becomes overwhelming. I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to teach 8 hours a day, and I've got to take care of my kids, and I've got to get on the email for my parents. And by the way, I have to do all this mentoring. And you have to be very careful that your mentor is not somebody that's so overwhelmed with, I'm the mentor, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to this, as opposed to, how can I help make your job easier? I think we lose teachers in the beginning. If you told me as a beginning teacher and I were starting again, you know, at a high school, and I'm overwhelmed with the curriculum, and I'm overwhelmed in the discipline and everything else, and all of a sudden I'm looking at 4 years before you're really going to say I can be on my own. I need help, and I get the best help I can get from another teacher. There's no question. It's not always professional development. It's the one-to-one on another teacher that can help me do things. But if it comes across as it's overwhelming, you know, you have to make charts of this. So I just encourage you to be aware that it's a great idea. And somebody at DOE thought this thing up, and they decided this was a great way. But it's also a way where teachers can say, I've had enough.
Overwhelmed.
You know, I'm overwhelmed. And I think you guys are on the right track to not let that happen. But I just caution you about that.
Can I speak to that?
Sure.
I do want to tell you, as a teacher and now as a mentor, when I was going through the mentor program, that was my lifeline. Having another teacher that is going through the same thing or went through the same thing.
It can be, yes.
And as a mentor, we are trained in the beginning before we are able to start mentoring. And we are meant to go in as their mirror, not as their supervisor.
Okay, because I've seen mentoring programs in big high schools. And it's somebody who, and I'm not suggesting there's anything like that going on here, but it's somebody who now has some power because I can be your mentor and I'm going to tell you, you have to do this and you have to do this. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to leave. And I know that's not going on here. I just caution you that sometimes the teacher might feel that way. But I think everything you've talked about is excellent. I'm very pleased to hear what you said.
And I want you to know as not only just as a board member, as a teacher and as the mentor, having been a mentor in the past and being the lead mentor, I take it very seriously.
Not
and
sure.
Ada has sat in on my training for the mentors, and I was very, very mindful of ensuring that you are their support and you're there hopefully to be their 2-year mentor. It is a paid service to support. To be that lifeline, to be that person that goes in. I have put together a program that I think helps guide the mentor and ensures that this is in no way punitive. Mentoring is meant to be
helpful.
It's meant to support. It's meant to encourage and inspire and be that one person that is your one-on-one. The whole idea is to retain teachers.
I agree.
Yes, I just wanted. Yeah. I just want to speak to that. That I was very mindful of that, and I do understand, having gone through the program myself, I do understand how overwhelming it can be.
And Ms. Tridente and I had that same conversation in my office when she was first coming back with everything, and I thought, oh my gosh, that just sounds so much.
But I've chunked it.
We
for
have
our teachers.
But we just keep having that we've just got to make sure that it's coming across as support and not something more that's overwhelming, because it is overwhelming. It's overwhelming even if you're not a first-year teacher to teach every day. I mean, you're on your feet. And I think that's one of the things that if you've not been in the classroom that you don't realize that you're in front of kids. You're live. It's a performance. Yeah. Your time to get it together and to do those other things happen outside of that time that you're in front of kids. Mm-hmm. So the 45-minute planning period and your 30-minute lunch, that's not enough. So the reality is you're going to spend time outside of that. And so it's how can we foster that time and help you use it the most effectively. So we have those, and we have... Every Wednesday we have our PLC, and part of our PLC is a check-in with our staff. So it's just, how's it going? What's going well? What's not going well? And we're listening, and if our staff is saying that they need help with something, we're responding to it. So if that means extra hours for us, that so be it. That's been a conversation that we're having at a deeper level between either Ms. Postles and me or Ms. Tridente, Ms. Bacchu, Ms. Postles and I, about that we're taking the load off. We're not putting the load on.
Good. Mm-hmm.
So, because that's another, I mean, it's, you know, it's...
You've been there. You know what I'm talking about.
100%. And it's not just on the people that are new being mentored. It's also on those people that are being mentored. Being the mentors.
It's extra for them.
If it feels like they're getting paid to do it, but it's not anywhere near what it's costing them to do it.
No.
So it's a couple $100s. It's not a lot of money. So while we're saying they're getting paid, it's not a whole lot of money for what they're putting in. They're definitely not getting anything for their hours, really. It's nice that they're getting something, so it's a recognition, but the reality is they're really giving a lot. They're getting a lot back in their heart.
I'm sure.
But we want to make sure that we're balancing everyone, because there needs to be that work-life balance and everything, so just recognizing that.
Okay,
we're regularly having that reset conversation, but wanting to make sure that we don't burn people out and that we do retain our staff. Which is part of the conversation that leads us right into the conversation that Bill and I were having. And we've been looking at just different ways that we can increase the staff salary so that we can continue to retain our staff and be a little bit more competitive. So my ask would be that the board grants permission to continue to look into that as a way to... Because we're not where we want to be on our budget, but we're definitely in a better place than we thought we were going to be on our budget. So,
you don't need any permission from the board to look into that.
Thank you. Okay. So, what I'd like to do is just go forward with moving in that direction of being better able to maintain the staff. We have some amazing people, and I don't want to lose them.
Yeah, as long as you guys present a plan, we would be happy to review it. But that's been a board priority.
Okay.
It's just been the budgetary, the restrictions of the budget that make it difficult.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Holmes.
Doesn't bring me the last time I spoke with Kenya was sometime last month. She had asked about the meeting. I don't know if she was able to attend. Did she come last month?
No, she did not.
Okay, so she hasn't.
Dr. Aaron
is on the PTO.
So. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did not know. Yeah. Thank you.
Once again, good evening. It's my first time here, and I've been on other boards too. My name is Dr. Yowen. They just call me Dr. E back in where I work, and because they find it difficult to pronounce my name, so they just call me Dr. E. That's fine. And also, I'm not seeing some faces for the first time. I've actually worked with some, and I'm still working with them. This is Ragnar. I'm closely working with her in the area of youth services for an organization. And also, this is the first time so far I have two boys. The reason I said I have two boys is because the boss said she needs a girl. So I'm not stuck with the planning to try one more. So my first one is 5 years, and he came to this school. Coming to this school was highly recommended from. And when I came, even though I worked with her on youth services when she told me about the school and everything, what I heard was different from what she was telling me. But because I worked with her, I trust her judgment, I decided to move forward. Then I begin to see that what I'm seeing is different from what I heard. Then I talked to her. She said, "Oh, they have a new management." And I said, "Okay." I'm a very analytical person. I'm a doctor of chemistry and analytical chemistry. So I'm very analytical, and I'll be seeing how things are going. And I was so happy. Every day I come and I see Dr. Munichi working, it gives me more confidence to release my child to the comfort of the school. And but two things come to mind here. One, I'm here is from the parents' angle, and I think there's also one area we need to really look at. I had my first meeting with the parents' teacher organization. I would say I was not impressed. I would say I was depressed, in the sense that we were four. They said previously, the last meeting, they were two. And this is one of the building blocks of child development. I'm a soccer coach for 3 to 7 years for the city of Dover, and I'm my son's coach. He plays soccer under me. He calls me Coach Daddy. I'm daddy at home, I'm coach on the field, okay? So, working with people of this set, of this age group, is more difficult than working with undergrad and graduate students. And parents need to get involved at this time. So meeting four people in my first meeting, now we have a full house. And I tell you, I would even like, let's hold this meeting tomorrow. But if you meet four people, you'll be depressed. You start thinking, what am I doing there? I know. I'm using this short talk to appeal to the board how we can get parents involved and engaged. When I was coming, the vice president told me that they have three things lined out. One, he said that they need the outside of the building cleaned, pressure and washed. They need the park area raked. Then in November, they have a planned dinner for the family, like a Thanksgiving. And in December, they plan a breakfast with Santa Claus for $10 at Dover Down. But to me, that is not what I want. What I want to do is I want to bring parents on board. I want to bring parents on board. And I will be so happy the board can help engage them. One of the things I intend to do, I'll be thinking about this, if the board can allow the teachers to write note to parents, part of the curriculum, parents should attend 50% of the meeting for their kids. You do two jobs, you do five jobs, that is fine. But if you cannot attend physically, you can also do a Zooming where you call in. I'll be able to set that up. looking at the population, we have 200 and over 200 students, four parents present. That is really, if I think we should have a minimum of 20 parents present at every meeting. So if we can make it mandatory that for an academic year, parents should attend their kids' PTO meeting 50%, I think that would be a good start. So that's my appeal.
It's a great goal. I don't know that we can make it mandatory. That's the only, yeah, I mean, it would be very difficult, but.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, I was on PTO here at AOD for, what, three years? Mm-hmm. And I think the last year was when I joined on the board. So I was on the PTO for 3 years, so I've seen the attendance wax and wane. For the last year, now this school year, I've been on a PTO at Postal 8. And I was blown away by the fact that there's not over 900 students at that school, and maybe four people, four parents were at the PTO meeting. So trust me, if you got four here, I mean, we'd love those four at Postal. And I'm serious. And then they're going around the table, and I'm just like, I got a lot of work. Like they want to give away the job. The people who are on PTO, that their kids have like already like graduated, but they're still there, like just doing something because
nobody else will.
I mean, they've been on the PTO for years, and you imagine. Postal Wait is only three grades, but the parents, because they're just good friends with the principal, like, and they're ready to give away jobs. And I'm just like, look, I'm just coming because I want you to see my face, and I want to, you know, be familiar with them. Like, I really can't afford really to do a lot of the planning and stuff that you want me to do. I try to do as best, you know, what I can, but what I'm telling you is honestly, I mean, we didn't have this many people at the last meeting. I mean, look on Postal Wait's their website on Facebook. At the last the last PTO meeting, I was there. They have them every other month at their school, and I don't think there was this many people at it. It was one table. And, again, there's over 900 students at Postal Wait. This table wasn't this big, and it was just enough to go around one table in the library. Just going about because she was posting stuff while we were in the PTO meeting. I lied to you not. So that's all you get.
So, yeah, that's going to be a bit, just a couple of things. I too served as a PTO president when I first moved to the city at Central Middle. And being a male on it, it was unusual because the only people that were there were the women, the mothers. Mm-hmm. And it was not that big a group. It was five or six. And I noticed there's a big disparity because they had sports teams and boosters. You didn't have enough space to put the soccer boosters or the tennis boosters or the football boosters. They were just parents who come out and follow their kids everywhere. Then your soccer coach, you probably know how many parents come out to watch your soccer game. You would love to have those same parents to be able to come to a PTO meeting about that same child that they worry about how well they kick a soccer ball around the pitch, or as opposed to learning. And it's just the nature of the game. And how to fix it, probably there is no fix. You just have to just use the incentives of things like the AOD day. I'm going to make it that day to be a part of the program, to meet and glad hand every parent there and ask them to get a commitment, a face-to-face. Would you mind coming out our next PTO meeting is this day? Could you come out and help me do something? And have a list of things that you've written down. If you could just come in just to take the role, or you could just come to get them involved in smaller things and just see where it goes.
Tracy?
A couple of my kids over the years were in, not charter schools, but schools where the parents were required to participate X amount of hours a year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you signed your child up for that school, you knew going in that you had to contribute 30 hours over the course of the school year. Your child had to contribute X amount of hours, whether it be for yard cleanup. Maybe you signed, maybe you couldn't do certain things, mm-hmm. but you could, you know, my husband, we could go over on a Saturday, whatever, you know, like fall cleanup. Mm-hmm. And that was your, you know, you checked off 3 or 4 hours, and then maybe you took tickets at something. You were mm-hmm. going to the school play anyway, yeah. So maybe you were there doing that. Whatever it was, you yep. had to put in X amount of hours because that was just part of going to that school. It's kind of more a holistic approach that everyone is involved. It's not just dropping your kid off at the door mm-hmm. and you're nowhere to be found. It was everyone was contributing. So that's just an idea to put out there that,
was
I mean,
that
maybe.
A paid charter school?
It was not a paid charter school.
Mm-hmm. Well, one second, Ms. Dr. Earl.
Obviously, my kids are MUSH, so a long time ago I was involved in PTAs. Perhaps we're going after the wrong thing. Perhaps the day of the PTO, the PTA is done. And instead of trying to reconstitute that, maybe the idea that you have the soccer parents, the football parents, or whatever, clearly parents are willing to be involved with something that is specific to their kid. I'm not sure what you want out of PTO or out of PTA. If, for example, you decided you were having a fall festival here, and you said, okay, I need parents to sign up to help with the fall festival, and we're going to have these kids going to sing, and these kids going to, and you get the parents to come for that, to work on that event, as opposed to saying, come every other month for a PTO meeting, you know, I need you to help me on this event. Mm-hmm. And what you do as the PTO person or the parent person, you organize it so that you have a reason to get out to parents to say, come, I need help. Who will sign up for this? Who will sign up for that? Whatever. Your kids are going to be here on Saturday. We'll give you free food. We're giving hot dogs. But we need parents to help. And forget the idea that you have to have a meeting every other month. You may have a group of two or three people heading everything up, and you sit and you talk to them and say, well, we're really the PTO, but we're not telling anybody because people don't have time to go to stuff like that. And you accomplish the same thing if what you want to accomplish is get the parent more involved in the school. You accomplish the same thing. I mean, if you have, say you have somebody coming here with library night, and they're giving away or selling library books, you know, books for your children. And you say, well, I need three people to volunteer to sell tickets, and I need somebody to give out the ice cream. And you begin to call certain people and say, and your two or three helpers can organize that. And you call those and say, will you help me? You know, will you help me? I got a third grader. I got a fourth grader. I got a... But because the kids are going to come to get the free ice cream and the free books. So mom and dad have to come to bring them. And if they get free ice cream too, they'll probably come in too. You're accomplishing the same thing without calling it PTO, which is like, oh, no, I don't have time for another meeting.
And to it's just a thought. Wagner's point, I know last spring... There was a carnival.
Like that?
Yeah.
And we volunteered, but there were quite a few parents at that carnival, and it wasn't like a. Yeah, so they weren't all PTO. Events. Yeah, they will so come and help.
Just not to
they just won't come to a meeting.
I mean, they come to PTO sponsored events, like the movie night.
Yeah.
They'll come to
but that's all you need, because right. What you're like after that. Is to like get that. The parents involved right. And then involved. Yeah.
Mrs. Williams.
I would recommend my grandson just graduated from the Delaware Military Academy in Wilmington. The Delaware Military Academy has a different type of students, but the parents are the same. And the first year he went, the principal talked about the family of parents and laid out what the expectations were in terms of getting kids to community service, which is part of the degree requirements. What I came to find out in the 4 years that he was there, the school... Except for the curriculum and the teaching, the kids handled everything else. My grandson, for example, was in charge of the school bus, and all the school buses come. He had to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning. He had to be there to make sure the traffic, he was a traffic controller. And most importantly, the local police, who were so glad not to have to do that, they gave them ticket writing authority. Okay, and the kids handled it well. They didn't just go out and give every parent in the world a ticket for double parking. But what I would recommend is to contact that principal and talk with them, because one of the most moving things that happened was at graduation, there was a child who committed suicide his freshman year, and he was graduated with his class, posthumously. And everybody in the school supported that. Mm-hmm. And it really was a family of parents. Mm-hmm. And grandparents and aunts and uncles and everything else. But whatever they're doing there, they've got it down pat. And I don't think because that's a military school and this is a different school, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it has to do with how you motivate the parents and what you expect of them.
Right, I was going to say the expectation you set at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
I was very happy when I saw Ms. Masuranda coming in, because like I said, I've worked with her, I'm still working with her on youth services. Remember, we started from zero, and we grew this youth. These are interact, they are under 18 years of age. Within 1 year, we grew them from 23 to 112.
But it's phenomenal, what and he's
the,
done.
And the parents were involved. So, to me, this project will be success. And she has great idea. I will want her to help me, join me in this course with advice. I know she used to come in with her landline, cell phone, just to get it.
She likes to talk.
So, I have seen... I'm passionate about gathering people. I tell you, it will be possible. I told them at the meeting, that from next meeting, I will provide a refreshment. Dunkin' Donuts, I'll provide a refreshment for next meeting. So, coupled with what you just said, if we have to be doing it every meeting, it might not work, but I just got some ideas right now, use some event to key in and all. I want to get that thing started. There have to be more parents involved. It's just going to happen. But I will be presenting it before the board so that I don't go outside the boundary line. I need everything. But I tell you, parents will get involved. Parents will get involved.
You mentioned several events you have planned coming
up.
Yes. But how about if you took one of those events and you said at night or whenever it is, and you said, okay, this is an opportunity for us to call parents. Say, can you take up tickets? Can you, whatever you're doing, can you give out donuts? Can you give out this? And by the way, your kids are in the band. They're going to be playing the drums that day. So I know you're going to be here. You will get people that will come. Now, if you offer free food, they'll come anywhere.
Right.
That's also true of legislators. Just give them anything free.
And if it's good food, they'll come and stay.
Yeah. But that's a good. That would be a good opportunity to start it that way and forget about PTO meetings.
Yep. All right.
I think, I'm sorry, just one last point. One way I think to facilitate that is, and it goes back to the purpose, like what do you really want out of them, and if it's to help with different events. Maybe I know at the beginning of the year, I remember seeing like those volunteer sheets. So maybe at the beginning of the year, if you get the names and numbers of people that you can call that have already volunteered and say they'd be willing to, you know, help at events, maybe not be a part of PTO, but they want to help out at events, and those are the people that you call, you know, whenever you need.
And then you can say, can you bring your friend to help? We need two or three people. Can you bring a friend with you to help out that
day? And they have schools that are doing it, how they figured it out.
Mm-hmm. And there are parents that will come.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Dr. Issa. You have a lot to get going on your baptism by fire. but we appreciate your efforts in advance.
And he means flames.
Any other announcements? All right, hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I have a question. I want to know when the next board meeting is going to be. Are we running into Thanksgiving?
No, November 25th. Monday. It's a Monday.
Okay. Oh, maybe you said that already.
Okay, so it's been moved by Mrs. Holmes. So I hear it's seconded by Drs. Fletcher and E. That we adjourn at 7:33 p.m. on October 24th. October 24th, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
We are off the record.